Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to Arthur Carey, a professional artist in Guelph and a professional expert in the medium of graffiti. He's hosting the second of two street art walks this weekend to teach young artists and art enthusiasts about the art and history of graffiti and how to hone those talents and the possibility of using a spray can responsibly. Of course, this is a touchy form of artistic expression, and many may not see the appeal, but perhaps Carey can change your mind, as the secrets of street art is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, as I said, graffiti can be a touchy subject in a place like Guelph. We have the artistic types that can appreciate the artistry and skill in creating a good piece of art, even if it's a bit on the illegal side, but you also have people who see graffiti as part of the broken windows philosophy, that graffiti is a sign of urban decay and the relative unsafety of a city or neighborhood. What if the truth is somewhere in between? Can the days and nights of misspent youth painting the side of a building you don't own lead to something more constructive? As a matter of fact, it can, and we're going to hear Arthur Carey talk about that in this week's podcast. He hails from Australia and spent many nights honing his craft, albeit illegally, on the sides of various buildings. But now Carey uses his spray cans to beautify at the request of people in the Royal City. In 2013, he painted a mural behind the Trafalgar Square high-rise on Carden Street, partially as a beautification effort, but also partially as a way to tip the balance from graffiti scribbles towards wall art that's attractive. And that's according to his partner, Tina. Still, there can be a beauty found in graffiti and street art. Ask prominent street artists like Banksy, who turned the side of a wall into a masterpiece costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. But since Banksy lives and works anonymously, we can't ask him, so we'll just ask Arthur Carey instead. So in this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, we hear from Arthur Carey about his own background in graffiti, how he parlayed that into a career as a successful artist, and what he hopes to give back to the people that attend his walks. We also talk about the genuine talent that's involved in creating graffiti, and how maybe that can be directed to something more law-abiding. And we also talk about our mutual appreciation for street art and what makes Guelph an interesting place to practice the craft. Now, this week's edition of the Politicast was taped in two parts. The first part is in the Commons Cafe, so it's a little bit noisy, but, you know, sort of in keeping with the, I guess, outlaw tone of the episode. The second part, though, was taped in the less noisy, but still kind of noisy, section in Market Squared, just outside where they were setting up for the jazz festival there a couple of Saturdays ago. So I caught up with Arthur Carey, who was preparing his first street art walk during the Guelph Jazz Festival in downtown Guelph a few weeks ago. Okay, so Arthur Carey, thank you for talking to me, and very busy day for you.
Yeah, totally.
I guess to begin with, how did you become, at what point did you become interested in street art and graffiti, and how have you gotten from there to here today, where you're about to launch this art walk?
So back in the 80s sometime, when I was a child and running around being a bit wild. It was just this new thing that sort of came out in movies and you know, records that they might have put out. And there was a big fad at the time of breakdancing, all that sort of stuff. And I think it was kind of a worldwide thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even the way out in Australia, they kind of, you know, we picked up on it. And so for a little while there, I sort of, you know, was doing the whole illegal graffiti thing, just running around, painting things, and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, as a part of that, I was a part of the hip-hop scene. After I got a bit older and a bit tired of putting myself into those situations,
right.
I started doing DJing and all that sort of stuff, so I sort of stayed with it there, but I stopped graffiti for a little while. Until 2008, when I came to Canada, My partner's mother is a wedding decorator.
Oh, yeah.
And she's doing a school social of some sort, and it was a New York thing.
Right.
So my partner dogged me in and said, he's the graffiti artist. Get him to do a mural for you. So I hadn't handled cans of paint for that long. And I did this really, you know, disjointed piece that I hadn't done in ages. And you know, just from there, it sort of just built up, I guess, because things like social media and all that sort of thing, and people kind of, he does that. And so I get interest from people here and there. And because I'm living in Guelph and it's local, there's lots of people that really, really enjoy. Canada's really good for graffiti art and all that sort of thing. Mm. They're not just tolerant, they actually like it and enjoy it. And so that's a positive thing.
I think that's kind of a key time, you know, 08. That was when, I can't remember his name, but the graffiti artist who did the Obey, the Andre the Giant face, yep. He also came up with the Obama, the Hope thing. Banksy was getting more name recognition. Yep. So I guess that was a kind of a critical, not that I'm an expert by any means, but it seems like as a layperson, that was sort of a critical transformation point from it going to this nuisance to sort of being recognized as legitimate art form.
Street art is an extension off of hip-hop graffiti art. So that's part of its development. And because, you know, Banksy, we'll use Banksy because he's sort of one of the most well-known. Actually sort of painted some incredible stuff regarding, you know, our environment as a society. And, you know, because it was so cool, people started to take notice of it. And it's just one of those things. I guess it's just that earthbound street stuff, and it sort of runs its own culture,
right,
its own way. Yeah.
I sense we're struggling with something. It's something I wanted to ask you about too. Is there a difference between what we would call graffiti and what we would call street art? Because when we're talking about Banksy, there's clearly a message to that. You know, there's the one with someone who looks like a black bloc protester throwing flowers, and that seems markedly different from somebody just writing their initials somewhere.
It is different. Hip hop is about fighting, but it's not about physical violence. It's about lyrical violence, painting violence, dancing violence, and music violence, and in the sense that people compete with each other.
Right.
So if you take a can of paint and you go with my name, that's a war, but it's a painting war. So with that in mind, getting better was because you had to do better than the other person.
Right.
But that's for a particular attitude, and it usually comes from, you know, youth that have been dealt, you know, a harsh situation in life, and they have a form of expression, and anger is the one way that it comes out.
Right.
But there are a bunch of people out there that might have, you know, had a different life, maybe a bit more balanced, and aren't a part of that, but are fascinated by technique.
Right.
Obey and, you know, Shepard Fairey or whatever his name is, Banksy and all that. Like, spraying with cans is, you know, its own thing. It's atomized paint.
Right.
But there's a technique behind it. You should see the China people that try to start doing this and thinking they can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's a whole lot of technique behind it. But that was fascinating, I'm sure, and which is one of the reasons. Also, things like stencils were quick and practical. You could make a really beautiful stencil and then quickly spray it on. Do you know what I mean? And be creative with a couple of colors or whatever it is. But essentially, hip-hop is its own culture, and from that culture came, you know, I mean, urban art was always sort of around.
Right.
The urban art that it is today is because of hip-hop, for sure.
Right. It's interesting you should say that, because I think there is that sense of, it's easy, you're some delinquent with a spray can, but the spray can is not a brush.
Yes.
It's a uniquely different artistic tool.
Well, the thing is when you're using a can of paint, there's usually about, you know, a half of a foot between you and the medium that you're drawing on.
Yeah.
So it's not like having your pen to a medium where you can touch it and you can sort of feel it through your hands.
Right.
But, you know, there's techniques. I mean, they've all been developed because the desire for graffiti writers to make their piece that much better, they come right. with just methods of doing it. Way back in the day when it was only Krylons or only Rust-Oleum, you know, they took things like, you know, hairspray nozzles which had a fat
right.
kind of spray out, and that made it good for filling in big areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or other nozzles that were thinner, which were good for doing outlines and details. So, you know, yeah, it was all just development and finding what you could. But now, you know, there's a range of products that are built with low pressure, lots of color for the artist.
So right.
In that way, it kind of makes it easier, but there's still a technique.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's also purists out there. It's like you take the can off the shelf at Canadian Tire or Home Depot, and that's how you work, and those different sort of nozzles and things. I mean, even going back to what you're saying about getting the hairspray nozzles, there had to be some form of like experimentation, some form of creativity. You had to think it through. It wasn't going to Wyndham Art Supplies and you know, and setting yourself up that way. So I imagine there's some you know, for people who were old school, it says so on your shirt. there's some method of like, this is the pure way.
There is.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I teach it now. So
yeah.
There's a point in me where it's like, geez, you don't know because we did it this way, and you know, and I have to stop and I have to think. Say, well, that's just not how things are anymore. Things develop, things change. So, I'm because also the, you know, doing it illegally is far more, you know, there's more at risk. Back in the day, we got a slap on the wrist and, you know, a fine and a whatnot. In some countries, like tagging on a train in the UK is considered treason.
Mm.
Okay, like that's a pretty harsh thing for tagging on a train.
Right.
Some places will put you away in jail. Some places don't. I don't know about Canada. But in the final end of it, the what it is and the punishment for doing it illegally is now no longer the best way to learn it. It was the only way before.
Right.
So I teach kids that are sort of 9, 8, 10 through to 15 type of thing, and you know, I give them a history. I give them the history of hip-hop, I give them where it comes from, and I set them up as if it was the old thing. So I set them in crews and I get them to talk together and figure things out and emulate how I grew up with it.
Right.
So that if they continue painting, not all of them will, but some of them might, you know, and they walk out into that world and they're sort of familiar with, they have a taste of what it was.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't let it go completely.
Right.
I have to lay out a learning format for, because the kids are interested now, like all the 10-year-olds, and I don't want 10-year-olds getting chased by the cops. Do you know what I mean?
That's one would good. Ideally know.
You know, but, I mean, yeah, so, but some kids, they may, there's a couple of crazy 10-year-olds out there somewhere, and I don't want them to get chased.
Yeah.
Sure, somewhere. Some of the things that people are doing artistically are just, like, they're way beyond me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I gave up a lot. So that's probably right. But like they're just like the developing of like, you know, pose and risk and all those kind of cats doing this. And Mad C, she's awesome. Like she will fill a huge, massive wall. She did this one in Chicago or something just recently. Biggest thing, took her 3 days,
yeah.
4 days a week or something, like, and just filled it up with colour and, you know, life.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's part of it, is the fact that you're bringing life to it. Like, one of my favourite pieces was a piece by, I'm getting old. The point was is that it was two pieces on the side of a subway train.
Right.
Two cars. And it was a drawn out photo of the whole of the background of New York City.
Right.
And here are these two things that were an absolute complete contrast to the whole grey, red, dirty York City background.
Yeah.
And it was Duster and Lizzie, that's what it was. And the colours that came off were just like, I was in love with that. And that's what's really important when we live in cities. And it doesn't matter what it says anymore. It matters that there's colour and intricacy and detail and all that sort of thing to make you go, wow, and change your day.
Right.
You know, and that's important.
And you kind of touched on this, that, you know, it fades, people paint over it. It makes me think, is it meant to last? Is it the nature of the style, the nature of the canvas you're choosing? You're kind of making a statement, this is not meant to last. And it makes me wonder, there are a lot of artists who, you know, reuse their canvases. You know, Monet reused his canvases. It makes me wonder if, like, Leonardo painting The Last Supper on that wall was like, there's no way in 500 years you're going to have, like, 10 art historian guys trying to preserve this. It just seems like street art in particular is sort of making a statement, maybe intentional, maybe unintentional. We realize this won't always be here, but for this moment, you have to be here and you have to appreciate this as it's right here, right now.
Back in the day when we took photos of our pieces, was partly because we knew that they were going to get painted over or puffed off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because we were trying to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
What we were actually doing was taking a look at our own mistakes and our own style.
Uh-huh.
And it was more like, it was actually more reference. After a while, when old pieces came up out of the photo books, it became a recording thing.
And, it sounds like peer review almost, like, yeah, like official critiques.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, oh, here's this arrow going this way, and I'm not sure if I want to do it that way, and you show it to crew. And then it's also something that's like, oh, who are you? And that's
right.
It's a reference of that kind of point, and that's sort of where it went. So, no, I mean, it was never, we always knew that it was never going to last, do you know what I mean? It was meant to be there for a little bit, and I kind of refer to it that what we do on walls is not any different than what we do in our own drawing notebooks.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? There's messes and scribbles everywhere, and there's outlines all over, and some of them are paid attention to, and some of them are not, and they're ignored. And you take one and you do it, and even then it's ignored. So the walls are kind of like the graffiti writer's sketchbook.
Mm.
Because people go, oh, tags, that's really, 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 really ugly, and it's bad. And it's like, it's not. I mean, to some people it's a mess, but on the other hand, what it actually is developing can control.
Yeah.
You know, people practice tags, and they do heaps of them until they perfect them, Joe. So in that way, it's practice.
So we're all set up here at Market Square. So what is the plan for people who are attending in a few minutes and will be attending in a couple of weeks when you do this all over again?
So I am going to bore a bunch of people with the history of hip-hop and where art came. Actually, they won't. They like to find out what's going on. And just sort of relate it to its roots, the state of it now, state of it in Guelph, plus where I'm from, who I am, kind of like we did before, and find out who they are, you know, why they're here, what they want to know, and then I'll take them down the back dark streets of the gangster-ridden Guelph areas. It's a funny little layout, Guelph.
Yeah.
Like, There isn't much, too much on this end of downtown, but the further you go up, there's like a little graffiti alley.
Right.
And then it goes out down to the massive wall along the tracks.
Right. That you did.
Yep. So, a lot of the stuff has my students there that I've had at my graffiti camps. Unfortunately, we're not anywhere near the Guelph Little Theatre where there's a lot of other stuff there, but
right.
But yeah, that's, you know, that's what that is. So yeah, sort of an introduction, and then, you know, we'll go for a walk, and, you know, safety, all that sort of thing. There'll be painting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're painting one of the walls here. It's sort of like a lead-in to whatever happens. I'm going to get them to do these, like, old 45 records.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll paint the colours they want. And then I'm going to use that as the fill-in of a graffiti piece of some sort.
Okay.
Or some design. I'm not sure what. So it's one of those things, like, you know, where you've had one too many drinks and you just sort of lead on from one thing to the other and see what you come up with.
Right.
That's kind of what's going to happen. So I'm not professing, you know, the quality of it just yet. We'll see what happens as it comes.
It's a work in progress. Maybe without spoiling, you know, for people who might want to come to the second one, since we're recording this right before your first walk, what are some of your favorite pieces that you see walking around?
In Guelph specifically?
In Guelph specifically.
I think a lot of it is... Well, there's this one that's further on down. I can't remember his... 01, I think his name is. He's got some nice colours and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of my kids. The quality isn't obviously up there, but I know the effort that they've put in. I think they, in fact, probably put more effort into their first pieces than I did. Mm. And some of them are trying to prove something. Right. Not exactly sure what it is, but they're trying to prove something, which is cool. Like, right. You know, and so they do. They put a lot of effort in. But I encourage these kids to do this sort of stuff because I want them to challenge stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, this is your space. I do a graffiti. It's a pop culture subject at this one school, and they have sort of their own strict guidelines as to what they approve of. And I walk in there and I tell the teacher before, and I said, these kids are going to be set free in my class. And I say to them, and I have to watch my mouth because I'll be like, F what people think.
Right,
do you know
what
I mean? And I say, this is you now. This is what you are, because you're at an age where you're letting go of what these rules are and you're having to express yourself. This is the spot to do it. You can do whatever you want. What do you want to tell your city is one of the first things I ask them. But when it comes to watching what's on the wall, I always look at them and I learn something new. Might be an old guy thing, I don't know. But, you know, and so I appreciate what they do the most.
And it comes around too, because you're saying these kids are coming in with challenging themselves. It's like what we were talking about earlier. They can see a future coming from it now, whether that's a future in art or a future like expressing themselves somehow, versus maybe when you were on the scene. You were just tagging walls. You didn't know you would be here 30
no
years
idea.
Later
yeah.
teaching others how to tag.
Totally. Yeah, I had no idea where it was going to be. I always knew I was going to be doing this when I was around 40, but I had no idea of how it was going to work.
Right.
And you know, I think back then I thought I'll still be piecing things illegally. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not happening at all. But, I don't know. Just like, there's a lot of things that they're restricted still, but also this society of kids are the most diverse and open ever. I mean, when I grew up, homosexuals were being thumped on, like physically beaten, and that just, it's not there anymore. It's not even a thing. And you know, like, that kind of attitude is there. But when I watch these kids, there's still something that's kind of holding them back. I've found out that a lot of what they do when they rebel, or when they're being angst and all that stuff, we did it outwardly. So there was a lot of outward stuff when I was doing it. There's a lot of, like, at the very worst, it was violent. These kids are doing it internally, which is why you get a lot of cutting, a lot of, you know, suicide and depression and all that sort of stuff. And they're all internalizing it. And I can't change that. That's how their society is. But they need to express it, otherwise it'll bottle up and something dangerous will happen. So come here, express yourself freely, and see where you go from there.
We were joking a couple of minutes ago about, you know, the gang-ridden streets of Guelph, but I do engage with another part of the community that is scared. Or at least concerned, because they see crime stats going up, they see more break and enters. This may be an incorrect assumption on their part, but they may see, you know, kids learning how to tag, learning how to do street art as something a bit more accepting, and not as sort of the higher ideals we've been talking about, but as more of this urban deterioration they're concerned about. So I'm not asking you to resolve their concerns, but, you know, there are people who will surely have that notion in their head when they're talking about what you're doing here today.
From what I gather, a lot of the rise in crime at all in Guelph is related to addiction.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I don't know of any graffiti writers in this area that have addiction problems. At the very worst, it's cannabis, which is going to be legalized anyway.
In a couple weeks, yeah.
So the worst that I would worry about from a graffiti writer is the headache of them maybe possibly tagging on your wall. But anything else aside from that, from what I understand, is strictly guys that have addiction issues who are having to fund their addiction. And there's a balance. I'm trying to get people prior to dangerous drug use. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't rescue people that far away. Sometimes the balance is that far out, and it takes somebody who is professionally trained as a psychologist and a counsellor and all that sort of thing. And what I can do is, I mean, I've had this situation where I'm in an area where I'm talking to children of all ages, and I can only deal with what I've got in front of me. So I tell them that, you know, at the very, like I said before, if they're piecing, they're not doing something else.
Right.
So I can't satisfy the addiction issues.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. You know, from the worst of it, if I was somebody who was living there, you know, I just keep my eye open and watch out for what's going on. I know there's a lot of bike thefts in Guelph these days and all that sort of stuff, so lock your bike up. You know.
Otherwise, let graffiti show you the way.
Yeah, totally. I mean these guys aren't necessarily into graffiti. Like I said, there's a lot of gangster styles that are being worldwide famous, and unfortunately that's sometimes where they go. We're pretty lucky. We don't have, as far as I understand, we're not rife with gangs. We don't have gang wars. Places like Toronto and New York and Los Angeles and all those big cities have that. So, you know, and that's a scary enough business as it is.
Well, Arthur, your students are showing up, so I'll let you go. Yeah, but thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with your walks.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And once again, that was Arthur Carey, a professional street artist based in Guelph. His next street art walk takes place this Saturday, September 29 at 1 p.m. starting in Market Square. Pre-registration is sold out, though, but a few vacancies may become available before the weekend, so keep your eyes peeled to the event page on Facebook for updates. And for the full list of Culture Day activities, you can find them at the City of Guelph website under the Arts and Culture section of the Living tab. You can find all the links to the show notes of this page of the Politicast. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, as said Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. And if you are interested in hearing from the Guelph candidates for the municipal election, at least the council candidates, you should be downloading that Open Source's podcast. For the next couple of weeks, we are having short interviews with council candidates through next week, and then we have hour-long interviews with the mayoral candidates on the 11th and the 18th, October 11th and October 18th, so stay tuned for more information about that. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the City of Guelph, then please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca. We will have new episodes of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.